I'm reading from where I sit. I hope you can hear me. We have a mic to help. The reading is from Psalm 17. Hear me, Lord, my plea is just. Listen to my cry. Hear my prayer, it does not rise from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from you. May your eye see what is right. Though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. Though people try to bribe me, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent, through what your lips have commanded. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not stumbled. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. They close up their callous hearts and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down. They now surround me with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. Rise up, Lord, confront them, bring them down with your sword. Rescue me from the wicked. By your hand, save me from such people, Lord, from those of this world whose reward is in this life. May what you have stored up for the wicked fill their bellies. May their children gorge themselves on it, and may there be leftovers for their little ones. As for me, I shall be vindicated and shall see your face when I awake. I shall be satisfied with seeing your likeness. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. I will never forget a time when I was riding my bike and out of nowhere, a tiny fly flew straight into my right eye. Very bad experience. And instantly, my whole body reacted, blinking and tearing up and stopping the bike, rubbing my eye and doing everything it could to protect that sensitive spot. But despite all my effort, I couldn't stop something so small and almost invisible from slipping in. I failed to protect even the most delicate part of my body. That experience makes David's prayer in Psalm 17, verse 8, even more striking. Keep me as the apple of your eye. The apple refers to the pupil, the most sensitive, protected part of the eye. Just as we instinctively guard our eyes from harm, so God watches over his children with protective, unfailing love. But unlike us, God never fails. He never fails. I couldn't keep a fly out of my eye. But scripture says of our Lord Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, his eyes were like a blazing fire. Nothing escapes his gaze. No enemy can sneak past him. No danger can take him by surprise. His eyes were searching, penetrating, all-seeing. And yet, this God, our God, with eyes of blazing fire, chooses to guard us as tenderly as the apple of his own eye. So when you feel surrounded, unnoticed, or vulnerable, remember this. You are not just on God's mind. You are the apple of his eye. You live under his constant, unfailing watch. This is the heart of Psalm 17. In the midst of life's battles, we can call upon God because he declares us righteous. We are kept as the apple of his eye, and we hold fast to the unshakable hope of heaven. To understand Psalm 17, it helps to look back at Psalm 14, 15, and 16, which together give us an Old Testament presentation of the gospel. Psalm 14 shows us that all humanity descended from Adam are sinners. God looks down from heaven, searching for even one who seeks him and does good, but finds none who seeks him and does good. The wicked tremble before the Lord because the Lord is not with them, but he is with his chosen people, whom he calls righteous by grace. Their salvation comes from Zion, God's holy dwelling place. And Psalm 15 tells us Zion, God's holy dwelling place, is the place only the righteous may dwell. Since none are righteous on their own, we can enter only by trusting God's grace through Christ's sacrifice, being clothed in his righteousness and welcomed into God's presence. And Psalm 16 gives the assurance of resurrection joy. Through Christ's victory over death, God's people are promised everlasting pleasure in his presence. And now Psalm 17 brings us into the present struggle of the believer's life. While we wait for Christ to return, we live in the midst of battle. Satan, like a lion, prowls eagerly to tear us down. Life in this life, in this world for God's chosen people is a spiritual warfare. Every step we take, every decision, every thought, every word is contested. Verse 11 says, they have tracked me down. They now surround me with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. And verse 12 adds, he is like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. Our enemies keep their eyes fixed on us, tempting, accusing, seeking to destroy our life. And Christian life is not easy. It is a war until Christ returns. But while the enemy sets his eye on us, the Lord sets his gaze on us too. His gaze is not to accuse, but to protect, to vindicate, to cover us with steadfast love. He keeps us as the apple of his eye and hides us under the shadow of his wings. Because he is a covenant-keeping God, he never fails. If you are in Christ, you are precious to the Lord. He will guard you as the apple of his eye as you walk through this world waiting for Christ to return. And this is the message of Psalm 17. And today we will consider three truths from this. First, we can call upon God because we are righteous in his sight. Second, we are kept as the apple of his eye. And third, we have the sure hope of heaven. First, we can call upon God because we are righteous in God's sight. When the enemies of God surround us, what should his people do? David shows us the answer. He cries out to the Lord. That is what the righteous do in the midst of spiritual battlefield. First one says, "Hear me, Lord. My plea is just. Listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips." Notice David's first instinct. He doesn't panic. He doesn't harden his heart in fear. Instead, he turns to the Lord in prayer. The righteous know that God is watching from heaven. Psalm 14 teaches us that God looks down from heaven to search human hearts. And because David knows this, he prays with honesty. He cannot lie before the Lord in his prayer. So verse 1 says, it does not rise from deceitful lips. In verse 2 he says, "Let my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right." Now David isn't claiming to be sinless. He knows he has failed many times. What it means is that God looks upon him as righteous. How? Because the Lord declares his chosen people righteous in Christ by faith. It is all by grace, not our own work. Our vindication does not come from ourselves. It comes from God's presence, God's holy dwelling place. From his declaration that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That is why David cries out to the Lord. Look at verse 3. "Do you prove my heart? Though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed." How thoroughly does the Lord search human hearts? Psalm 14 tells us that after searching, if people seek after him and do good, he finds not even one who seeks him and does good. All have turned aside. Yet here in Psalm 17, David has confidence that when the Lord examines him, he will find nothing. How can this be? The wicked do not seek after the Lord, but David does. Cries out to him and puts his trust in him. Romans chapter 3 verse 22 declares, "This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile." You see, only those clothed with Christ's righteousness can dwell in God's presence. There is no difference between David and the wicked. The only difference is that he seek after him and put his trust in the Lord. That is why David can pray with boldness. By faith, he knows that he is covered. He knows that the Lord sees him as righteous. That confidence shapes his obedience. And verse 5 says, "My steps have held to your path. My feet have not stumbled." Do you see the pattern? Because David is righteous in God's sight, he calls God with confidence. And because he is righteous, he also walks in obedience. His life is anchored in God's word, and his heart is steady because God's eyes are always on him in Christ. In our spiritual battlefield, always remember that God looks at you as righteous in Christ. so that we can come to Him and cry out to Him with confidence. Secondly, we are kept as the apple of God's eye. Why does the Lord look down from heaven? Scripture gives us two reasons, as we considered already. First, because He searches every human heart, as Psalm 14 teaches. And secondly, because He loves His people as the apple of His eye. To be the apple of His eye means to be the object of His closest attention and His tenderest protection. That is why we pray in times of trouble, because we know that God's gaze is not distant or distracted. He looks upon us to protect us, to save us from our enemies, and to show us His steadfast love. Listen to verse 6 to 7. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Do you see the confidence there? The righteous know that God hears their prayers. The prayer is not just a religious duty. It is a declaration of trust in God, whose steadfast love never fails. In fact, your prayer life often reveals how real the battle is to you. If we rarely pray, it may mean that we've forgotten how dangerous our enemies are. Scripture says they are like a lion, lurking and ready to tear. They accuse us before God and seek to destroy our faith. But if we know the reality of that battle, we will cry daily to the one who keeps us as the apple of His eye. David prays in verse 8 to 9. He says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. This is the language of intimacy and safety. God's people are not just watched from a distance. We are hidden under His wing, very close, sheltered from the fiercest attacks. But notice, the more aware we are of our deadly enemies, the more deeply we appreciate our Savior's protection. In verse 10 to 12, David describes his enemies. He says, they close up their callous hearts. Their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down. They now surround me with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. Proud, merciless, and predatory, that is the enemy's character. Behind them is Satan himself. Satan is cunning. He seeks to steal God's glory and destroy God's people. He disguises himself as an angel of light, and his work belongs to the darkness. He raises false teachers, false Christ, ultimately Antichrist. He walks through all kinds of people, you name it. All kinds of people, even friends and family. He stirred Judas to betray Jesus. He tempted Peter to deny Jesus three times. He even tempted our Lord Jesus himself in the wilderness. He is not an easy enemy. That's why we need a Savior who never fails. A Savior who clothes us with his righteousness. A Savior whose love never changes. A Savior who is our refuge, who keeps us as the apple of his eye and hides us under the shadow of his wings. We sometimes sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." But the truth is, our eyes often wander. But good news is that his eyes never wander. The Lord's gaze is always fixed on his people, on you. He watches us with steadfast love. He keeps us as the apple of his eye until the day of Christ's return. Even through the darkest days, even when the Antichrist arises and opposition intensifies, never forget how precious you are to God. You are bought with the blood of Christ, the creator of this huge universe. You are not your own. You belong to him. Satan cannot snatch you from his hands. You are secure. You are precious. That confidence is what allows David to pray in verse 13. "Rise up, Lord, confront them, bring them down. With your sword, rescue me from the wicked." When the Bible says the Lord arises, it means he is going to battle on behalf of his people. He is a mighty warrior who confronts Satan, subdues him, and delivers his children. And one day, when Christ returns, Satan will be subdued forever. So remember this. When we pray, God fights for us. He confronts the enemy. He keeps us as the apple of his eye. He hides us under the shadow of his wings. First, in spiritual warfare, we call upon God because we are righteous in his eyes. And second, we are kept as the apple of his eye. Finally, we have the sure hope of heaven. David closes this psalm by comparing the satisfaction of the wicked in this life with the satisfaction of the righteous in eternity. In verse 14, he describes the portion of his enemies. He says, "By your hand, save me from such people, Lord, from those of this world whose reward is in this life. May what you have stored up for the wicked fill their bellies. May their children gorge themselves on it, and may there be leftovers for their little ones." By the way, our Lord is generous. He does not reserve his kindness only for those who love him, but shows his love, kindness, freely upon all. He gives rain to water the crops of the wicked as well as the righteous. He causes the sun to rise with the warmth and light on those who curse his name, as much as on those who bless it. This is God's common grace, the goodness of God displayed daily in the created order, sustaining life even among those who live in rebellion against him. His generosity reminds us that every breath and every harvest, every sunrise is an undeserved gift. The world may overlook these mercies, mistaking them for their own achievement. But they remain tokens of his patience and kindness, meant to lead hearts, human hearts, toward repentance and gratitude. And this is the common grace. The enemies of God do not see that way. And verse 14 says, enemies are men of the world. Their portion is limited to this life. Their satisfaction is in wealth, in children, in passing on their abundance to the next generation. When they die, that is all they have. Their treasures never goes beyond the grave. In one sense, David is describing the ordinary rhythm of life. People marry, have children, eat and drink, work and pass on their inheritance. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 to 39, that the days before his return will be just like the days of Noah. People busy with the normal things of life, unaware of the coming judgment until he sweeps them away. But David also points out something darker. These enemies have gained their portion through arrogance, violence, and pride. They are like lions lying in ambush, seeking to devour the righteous. And yet, even in their wickedness, they still cling to their children and pass down their wealth. But that is all they have. Their God is this world. Their treasure is temporary. Their portion ends at death. But David draws a sharp contrast in verse 15. He says, as for me, I will be vindicated and will see your face when I awake. I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. Do you hear the difference? The wicked are satisfied with this life. But David says, not me. How about you? His hope is not in wealth, not in children, not in possessions, not in anything this world offers. His hope is in the Lord. His portion is not on earth, it is in heaven. His satisfaction will come when he awakes in the eternal reality of God's presence, when he sees the Lord's face, when he is transformed into his likeness. Until then, David refuses to be satisfied with the fleeting pleasures of this world compared with the glory of seeing God face to face. Nothing else is enough. And this is what the prosperity gospel cannot understand. The wicked chase after temporary blessings. The righteous long for eternal ones. Would you rather be satisfied with what Satan offers? Money, fame, power, fleeting success. Exactly the same he offered to the Lord in the wilderness. Or with what the Lord offers, his presence, his likeness, his eternal joy. Psalm 16 promises us eternal pleasures at God's right hand. And Psalm 17 shows us why. Because one day we will awake in glory, see God's face, and be transformed into his likeness. And that is the hope of the righteous. Yes, our sufferings are real in this world. Satan tempts us with the worldly treasures. He may even afflict us as he did Job. But none of it lasts. Our portion is not here. Our portion is in heaven. So remember, while we wait for Christ to return, we are in a battle. Not each battle. But in that battle, we can call upon God because he sees us as righteous. We are safe because we are the apple of his eye. And we endure with hope because our portion is not in this world, but in the world to come. One day we will awake, we will see his face, and we will be satisfied completely, satisfied forever when we are transformed into his likeness. That is our hope. That is our joy. That is our portion forever. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious hope of the gospel. We do not stand before you clothed in our own works, our own goodness, or our own attempts at righteousness, but we stand in Christ by faith in your holy presence. Thank you for keeping us as the apple of your eye from all our fierce enemies. Thank you for the glorious hope we have in Christ. Our satisfaction comes from you alone. Help us live worthy of your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.